place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
6:09 in the morning. What are we doing up? I mean, honestly, all of us. Why are we up at this hour? It doesn't seem early, Gallup. Seems early. I don't know why anybody would be up at this hour, but I'm glad you are. I'm glad you're listening. And thank you for that. Today on the program, we got a Karen Conti is going to talk the law. And, you know, I like to throw some legal questions at her, too. So maybe we can grab somebody off the text line, 312-981-7200. If you've got something on your mind of a legal nature and you want to do that thing where you go, I got a friend, you would not believe the trouble they're in. 312-981-7200. If you shoot a text to me, I'll try to get that on. President's calling after 7. Dean Richards will join me for a very special Moron Entertainment. It's not really that special. I just always like when shows promote themselves that way.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Cool charity later we want you to know about. And then who's on Neighborhood Eats this week?
I have Rue Chicago, R-O-O-H from the West Loop. It is progressive Indian food. Don't just, you know.
Progressive politically?
Well, progressive in terms of modern. It's okay. A modern take of Indian food. And it's super posh. It's really chic. It's a little bit different than your mom and pop Indian joint that you're thinking of.
So it's a hip place.
Yes. Well, I mean, everything on Restaurant Row is pretty hip, mm-hmm, right? Over mm-hmm. there on the West Loop.
It's called Rue.
R-O-O-H.
It's like a fusion thing, or is it straight up Indian?
Well, it's really Indian, but it's they're using local ingredients, and so it's a take on Indian food with the local ingredients that you would find here in the Midwest.
Okay.
So elevated.
Rokan's scheduled to appear later as well. All right, let's do it. Top 6 at 6 right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
CTU, the Chicago Teachers Union, planning a rally this morning around City Hall during the mayor's first budget address for Thursday. CTU is calling a national day of action, asking teachers around the country to show support for Chicago striking teachers. There's also talk today of blocking traffic. Now, today, tomorrow, whatever. Let me just repeat what I've said a million times. You do not get anyone not immediately involved with your cause on your side by making them late for work.
And this is going to be a mess because this starts at like 8 o'clock and there's going to be closures like at Wacker and Columbus, Michigan and Randolph.
Are they closing them officially for this march?
They're closing them along the route. So as they march, they're going to march to City Hall for the budget thing.
So the city's approved this thing then, obviously?
They know about it and they're going to be following them around and closing the streets accordingly.
Why? Do we know why the streets have to be closed?
Because there's going to be hundreds of people on them. So, you know, the cars aren't going to be able to get through. So they're just saying public transportation, take it.
I've had this conversation with legitimate protest folks for years.
I know.
Get out of their way.
It really bothers you when they disrupt traffic.
I don't understand.
And everyday life. It's at 8 o'clock it's going to start.
It's the top story on the news every day. You're not bringing more attention to it.
Yeah. We already know about it. But when people do this, though, in their defense, it's about disrupting everyday life because they feel at the end of their rope. And it's about, I'm at the end of my rope. It's my life is disrupted every day because of this situation. And that's why I'm trying to disrupt your life a bit to get you to pay attention. So
not
that's the logic. That's the logic
about it.
That's the logic. Well, that's the logic behind it.
But
we can
exert pressure on people to get it solved. That's what they're hoping that we do.
But blocking traffic isn't going to make me exert pressure. Blocking traffic is going to make me annoyed.
But they're annoyed every day of their lives. Is what their point is? Is that they have to live with it? And
listen, I support teachers.
I know
this
you
is
do.
Not the way to do it.
I'm just saying. I have to. There's only one side, so I'm just saying why the logic behind it. That's what they're thinking.
Inconveniencing
us, Steve.
Well, it is inconvenient.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, can't even drive around.
This is America.
Next, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson is going to host the International Association of Chiefs of Police Conference in town next week, but he's skipping Trump's speech. The president will make a speech to the police, but Anthony Guglielmi said in a statement he will not. Eddie Johnson will not be attending the speech of the president because the values of the people of Chicago are more important to him than anything the president has to say. It's America. Next, California couple whose daughter was admitted to Northwestern pleaded guilty on Monday as part of the ongoing fallout from the National College admissions scandal. The student's the child of Manuel Enriquez and Elizabeth Enriquez, who entered guilty pleas in Boston's federal court Monday after previously pleading not guilty. Each faces charges of money laundering and conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud. I don't know the specifics of their case as to how they got in, but there's nobody seemingly in the Northwestern faculty that's implicated in this.
No. And apparently the daughter is no longer at school there. And they had somebody sit with the daughter while she took her SAT or ACT and gave her the answers.
Well, that's not right.
Doesn't seem so. And they should just
go out and block traffic.
They had another daughter who was admitted to a Georgetown applied to Georgetown under false pretenses.
I heard what you did there.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Here's the thing.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm explaining the logic behind it.
But here's the thing that I don't understand, and I haven't understood about these parents since this all started. You know, you get your kid into school, your kid's not going to be able to handle the work. I mean, they either earn their way in, mm-hmm. unless there's some extra level to this scandal where they've also padded the first 4 years.
It defies logic. The only thing I could think about is maybe a kid that's really horrible at test taking, but I think there's measures that you can ask
for,
like special accommodations.
Kind of test prep, too. Yeah. I mean, by the time you get around to it.
I mean, I wish I could have had a therapy animal while I was taking my SAT.
John DeCosta would be a therapy animal.
I could be that.
And did the kid know who the person was sitting next to them?
That's the thing. One of the families is claiming, this is my favorite excuse for this, one of the families is claiming that, yes, they had someone else take the SAT, but they sat next to my daughter and she had to take it as well. We just submitted the higher score.
That makes it okay? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, they also bragged about it afterwards. That's how they ended up getting caught.
Because they were gloating.
We beat the system.
Well, they're too dumb to get into Northwestern then.
I read an article yesterday about Lori Loughlin and that she had talked about the $500,000 that they had given.
I prefer you call her Aunt Becky.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aunt Becky. then I read an article about Aunt Becky. But she is just saying, I'm like, how could they say that they were not guilty? And there were a couple of points there, but one of them that made me laugh was that it was just a donation. $500,000 was a donation. But they did. They were asked to have photos of their daughters in rowing uniforms, and they didn't know what those were being used for. Well, then why would you not question that?
Any parent has an idea of the skill level of their child. Any parent.
Do you think, though? I think not all parents are realistic, though. I think because it's your child, so you just think that they just need a little help, and if you just help them, then they'll get over that.
Yeah,
they'll have that edge. You want them to have the best life.
I don't know. It never.
I'll see you in traffic.
Yeah.
It never appealed to. I mean, it never even crossed my mind.
Well, college is one of the first big steps, because public school you're entitled to. College is one of the first big steps of, now you got to earn it. This is how you be a grown up. You got to earn your way in, and for the rest of your life, you're going to have to pay your way. In general, so having said that, if you bribe your kid into school, what are you doing for the next 4 years?
Watch him fail. I mean, you can't follow him to every class and, help him with every test.
But good luck with the rowing team. Next, federal judge gave the go-ahead Tuesday to the city of Chicago's lawsuit against Jussie Smollett. You might remember him. He's a guy that faked an attack, said it was Trump people that attacked him in one of the least Trump-like neighborhoods in all of Chicago. and then walked around with a rope around his neck and was seen on video. Or I should say his hired thugs were seen on video. What's the name of that story? The Hungry Beaver or something?
It's the Crafty Beaver.
The Crafty Beaver.
Yeah. And it is, it's near the where Grazanich and I live
beaver,
in Uptown.
Which is so perfect.
We have all kinds of other names for it, too, but we can't say them on the radio.
But anyway, $130,000 in overtime incurred by the police. That's the point of the lawsuit, and we'll see where it goes. We'll ask Conti about it when she's on. Next, Cirque du Soleil, the Montreal-based entertainment behemoth with famed productions around Mexican culture, steampunk, Chris Angel. They did Michael Jackson twice, Greek mythology, sex. I mean, it's all been done. But it's never produced a Christmas show until now. The all-new Twas the Night Before is coming in November to the Chicago Theater. I didn't know you could do Cirque du Soleil on a small stage.
Well, they do the
travel. I guess they do it in Vegas, don't they?
Well, they have a tent that travels here.
Yeah, but that's big.
Yeah.
I've been to those shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in those shows.
You were in them?
Yeah.
My goodness, I learned something about you every day.
I'm the guy that just stands there in the middle while people swing around me and stuff.
Oh, that's the best job.
Sometimes I like turn left. And then there's this. Krispy Kreme Donuts has opened a shop in the city for the first time in a long time. It's the Block 37 Pedway. It's first store in downtown Chicago in 14 years. A shop on the lower level stretch of the Pedway connects the CTA's blue and red lines, which is perfect. Get all sugared up before you get on the train. Donuts will not be made on site, though. They'll be delivered twice daily from suburban Krispy Kreme locations where they're made fresh.
This is interesting because I remember they expanded really quickly and they had to close a lot of the shops down, but now it looks like they're expanding again. But I like them hot, fresh off the conveyor belt.
That's what they told you, but in fact, the reason they closed down so many stores was everybody died.
Donuts are delicious.
They're very delicious, and that's why people eat as many as they do. John, you like the Krispy Kreme, don't you?
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
But it has to be hot off of that little conveyor belt.
That's true. If you're going
to
ship them in, then I might as well just pick them up from the Jewels.
John had an accident in the car once.
I did.
With donuts?
Yeah.
You want to tell them what happened?
Because I bought a dozen for my family. I put them on the side, and then this guy cut me off, and the entire box just flew into my mouth.
Right. And then there were no donuts for anybody.
Heavens to Betsy. That's a shame.
I don't think you've ever asked me to do a bit on the air.
You got to admit, it was a flawless setup.
That was fine. That was good.
6:20. We'll come back with more in a moment.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, Steve Cochran Show at 6:25 in the morning. And again, as I said, Karen Conti will be on shortly. Before we get to what G used to do for fun as a little girl, in rural North Carolina, one texter just a moment ago from the 708, as a teacher, I don't feel bad about the parents being found guilty for cheating. There's a huge difference of getting your child help academically because they need it, a tutor or going to a tutoring center. Parents should not have to do these tests or the work for the kids. It's flat out wrong. I don't entirely understand that text. I think what the well, it doesn't matter what I think. Here's my problem with the text is you have to earn your way into college. And there are certain to level the playing field for everybody. And by the way, I fully understand it's not completely level. But to theoretically level the playing field for everybody, you have to earn your way into paying an exorbitant amount for a private school.
You have to earn your way to owing student loans for the rest of your life.
And for that reason, if somebody cheats their kid in, then it's not fair to the others who don't.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely a lot of other factors like, you know, economic ability to be able to hire tutors and that sort of thing. But yeah, definitely,
but
you shouldn't be cheating.
Hiring a tutor,
I think that's
is
what the texter is saying. She's like, she doesn't feel bad for these parents because they cheated.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But hiring a tutor is completely different
Absolutely.
Than cheating your
kid. First of all, it's legal. It's legal to hire a tutor and help your kid out if you can. If you have the ability, more power to you to help your child.
I've said many times, I grew up in a small town, and for fun, we used to go to the airport and watch planes land because only one came in every hour. G grew up in a little town in North Carolina. What did you do for fun?
Well, it was the Walmart parking lot, and then there was the Krispy Kreme donut where you could watch the donuts on the conveyor belt. That's why I have fond memories of Krispy Kreme donuts.
I can't believe you left.
Right?
It was really
why
tough.
Why would you even want to leave?
Tough decision, guys.
And we should say again, it was before the internet. Yeah, the internet hadn't been invented yet. Sports with Mr. Innick coming up, including the Hawks losing late after really dominating Vegas for 58 and a half minutes.
Yep.
And then it went the wrong way. They pick up a point, but they should have had two, and they'll get it right tomorrow night in the revenge against the Philadelphia Flyers. Before we get to Dave, we get to the news right now. All right, it is 637, 638, actually. Thank you, Steve. You know, you get, I'll get to Karen Conti in a second, but you get voice to text, and sometimes the meaning gets lost a little bit. So I want to give Matt a chance to clear this up. He's in Orland Park. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right, tell me about that text.
Okay, so first of all, love the show. Thanks. I listen to you guys every morning, so
you
guys are my morning commute radio.
Thank you.
But as a teacher, I don't feel bad about the parents who try to pay their, you know, try to cheat their child into college. I worked to get into college. I worked hard to get into college. I had to go through tutoring centers. I had to go through private tutors myself because I wasn't good academically, and I worked hard to get academically better to get into college. So because I wanted to be a teacher. So, but I don't feel bad about parents getting caught for cheating their child in. And there's a difference between, for me, there's a difference between getting the help that your child needs if they're struggling in their schoolwork to help them get better, and there's a difference by just doing it for them.
Yeah, well, we're saying the same thing, that it's not okay to cheat your way in. You probably should have a betterment of the system where you don't have to pay for expensive tutors, but if you can afford it and you do it, that's certainly legal and okay.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that there's, like, no confusion or anything like that.
No, I appreciate it. Where do you teach?
Where do I teach?
Yeah.
I teach at St. Michael's School in Orland Park.
What do you teach?
I teach technologies at a private Catholic school in St. Michael's in Orland Park.
So a computer, how to text on their phone? Oh, they probably know that.
yeah, they know that. No, I teach them how to use the computers properly as a tool rather than just using it for games.
Oh, cool.
I teach digital citizenship, which means like online safety, recognizing cyberbullying, and what to do when there's something not right going on the other side of the computer. So
progressive school. I appreciate the fact that you do that, and I hope all schools, if they don't have you, they get you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Thank
All right, man. Thanks.
I love that. Online citizenship. I've never heard of that before. There's a lot of adults that could take that class, too.
Amen to that. Karen Conti joins us. She's on the radio Sunday nights, Jay. She does this legal thing here. And, Jay, if you want to call her and say, I got a friend who's in trouble, we really do know it's you.
She's already bailed me out of jail twice.
Hi, Karen.
Good morning. I take on all hard tasks.
I understand that. Yeah, look at me. All right, so Jesse Smollett's back in the news. The city wants to recover how much money?
I think it's about $130,000, and that's what they say that they incurred in investigating his false claim.
And what did the judge say?
Well, they tried to dismiss it. Jesse Smollett's lawyer said, hey, you know what? He couldn't have imagined that the police would spend all this time and money, and therefore their lawsuit against him should be dismissed. And the judge said, no. Generally speaking, if you do something wrong and there are consequences that are logically follow from that wrong, then yes, you are responsible for it.
This means the case goes forward. Any sense of what happens next?
Well, there's discovery, and that's going to be interesting because we might get to see some things that we haven't seen yet. We'll see maybe what's in the police reports, a little more detail. We'll see what was said back and forth. We'll see, you know, the issue as to whether it was a false claim in the first place is going to be an issue. So the two brothers who were involved will be deposed. Unless the whole thing is settled, you know, it should be settled. Someone should write a check and be done with it. And if he wants his career to move forward, you would think he would compromise here, write the check, and move on.
And those two guys that were in the Happy Beaver, I think the whole trial should take place there.
Crafty Beaver.
What is it, the Crafty Beaver?
Crafty Beaver.
Oh, I thought it was the Happy Beaver. All right. Several interesting things legally in the news, including this. A cosmetic company's been fined for posting false reviews. We hear about this all the time. How do businesses protect themselves when somebody's killing them online?
Well, there's two parts to this that are interesting. If there are false reviews, okay, that's one thing. And the law, you know, law takes care of that. That's defamation. So if you make a false claim about a product or a competitor, you know, goes on your website and makes a false claim that I didn't like this product and it really did bad things, that's already protected. This is interesting because this company allegedly made false positive claims. So they created this positive hype about this product, and they created false, just, you know, comparisons and things like that. So people go on, of course, before they spend $100 on a little tiny bottle of face cream, and they read these reviews and they say, oh my gosh, these independent people are making these great positive reviews.
Sure.
And in fact, they were false and they were trumped up. And the law hasn't really caught up with this yet, but I think we're going to see some really strong laws on this in the future, because that's how people are buying things these days.
And there needs to be, you and I have talked about this many times, the Wild West of the Internet isn't so wild anymore, but you continue to have to develop laws as time goes on, because, well, that shouldn't be right. We find that out as we go, right?
Well, that's right. And I mean, there are laws on the books about false advertising. And clearly, you know, this could be deemed to be false advertising because they're basically telling people to make up a bunch of stuff. But, you know, even when you search for a lawyer or, you know, an accountant or whatever, the people who come up first on those Google sites are just, you know, those are people who pay to get up there. And there's ways to bury bad reviews. And there's those old businesses that you can hire to get, you know, to maximize what your Google search shows. So where does that line get drawn as to what's false and what's not? That's where the law is going to be very interesting.
There's got to be a cool business if you could call it Google Page 2, because nobody ever goes to Page 2. And Page 2 would be the stuff you're missing because you only look at Page 1. So it's all highlighted. That's what I'm working on. All right. Boston has a new law going into effect. I don't see how this isn't a free speech issue. Maybe it will be. But if somebody calls somebody else a bitch, that's the word, they want to make it illegal, the people that are putting this law forward. Has this got any chance of actually getting through?
I don't think so. And I think that from what I've read, the politician is saying, we just want to make a statement here. Well, you don't make a statement by trying to pass laws that are going to be stricken down. And if for some reason it does get passed and it has to go through the whole process, that's an expensive process. Pretty clear that is would be a violation of the First Amendment, because we are allowed to swear. Profanity is certainly free speech. We aren't guaranteed of nice words, and that word can be used in so many different ways. As you all have seen, that word can be used in a very friendly way when you're talking to friends, and it can be used in a nasty way. But
we used in a dog show.
Exactly. And I just don't think that, I think we should be doing more important things. But again, you know, they're trying to, I guess, you know, make people a little more civilized. And that's really not the way to do it. Because when you try to enforce those things, it's just there's no good way to enforce them. I mean, how are you interpreting that word in any given day?
And what's the story about the state of New York trying to save local news?
It's a weird one. It looks like New York is passing a law, or trying to pass a law, requiring cable stations to carry local news stations so that they would be obligated to air local news stories and things coming from a local perspective. That's really interesting, and it's very complicated, but, you know, interestingly, 20 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court came down with a ruling requiring cable stations to allow local stations to run their airwaves or what have you.
So well, yeah, the FCC used to have your license determined on how much you were attempting to do the public good. There's still some factor of that, and frankly, I don't know how that law has changed. But for radio stations and television stations governed by the FCC, to prove that they are doing the best to serve the community. That's very loose terms, but that sounds like what this would fall under. Cable never fell under that before.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And cable, you know, everybody's got cable. So if you aren't going to allow the local news to be broadcast, you're not going to have any local news anymore. But content, that's where the First Amendment comes in. The government can pass laws for the good of the community, but they can't monitor and they can't regulate the content that gets broadcast. So this will be an interesting one.
One listener says, hey, in regards to the new marijuana law on January 1st, I was convicted for cultivating marijuana under 5 plants. Does that conviction get thrown out retroactively when the new weed law kicks in?
I'm not sure if that particular crime, I'd have to look exactly what it is, would be under that the expungement of all of those. If it is under that parameter, then those things get expunged almost automatically. You really don't even have to apply for it. But if he can contact me at my office and he can give me the exact crime that he was convicted of, He's saying that he's been charged with it now, and he wants to know if...
I think it sounds like it's in the past.
It's in the past. Yeah, if it falls under, there's a bunch of laws. There's a law that says that a bunch of crimes relating to marijuana, not felonies, not with guns, but just minor marijuana crimes, will automatically be expunged from people's records, and everyone should know what those are. And if he emails me, I will look it up, and I will make sure that his is among those that will be expunged.
And what email are you suggesting?
That would be WGN@AskKarenConti.com.
All right, and phone number?
312-332-7800.
Helpful listener says, I heard the Crafty Beaver is owned by the company that ran the Regal Beagle. Remember the Regal Beagle?
Yes, Three's Company.
Ooh, I don't remember that.
Come on, knock on my door. Yes. Thank you, Karen Conti.
All right, have a great week.
312-981-7200. John DeCosta is here. John, how are you?
I'm doing well.
One of the things you're most famous for, aside from being musical director of the program and one of America's great stand-up comedians, is, in fact, fact or fiction.
Fact or fiction. Or, as G likes to call it, truth or untruth.
Right. And fact or fiction is a simple game to play. John will make a statement, and you will have to determine if it's fact or fiction. This game grew out of a necessity because John says nonsensical things all the time. And we have to always determine if they're real or not.
That's pretty much true. Like
we said, let's make that a game.
Like the donuts flying into somebody's mouth.
Yeah, like that. Just like that. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the number if you'd like to play Fact or Fiction for prizes. Texter says, some people's children are stunningly average and don't need college. Everybody would be better served if honorable manual labor was upheld as a desirable choice. I dare you to pass the test to get into apprenticeship programs for an electrician or plumbing. Since we almost attend university now, cheating will become even more commonplace. Count on it. I don't doubt that cheating will continue. I hope it doesn't become more commonplace. I do think manual labor, as you write it, has not only become an alternative choice, it's a valuable choice and a more well-respected choice. And there are also these alternative schools that will teach you how to write code or encourage your code writing, and technical schools, game development, things like that, that are
Absolutely.
2 years instead of four.
I don't think the traditional four-year college is the best call for every kid.
No.
And in fact, there's a lot of manufacturing jobs that are in the six figures that they're having trouble filling
yep.
because people aren't trained in running and operating big machinery and technical equipment.
You are correct. And it's a good way to make a living. And if you're excited about that or your kid is, well, you should encourage it. And I hope you do. In the meantime, we'll do Fact or Fiction right now with a couple of players. And let's see, we're playing for Lumel Nauti's Pizza. We got Apt gift cards. Oh, and I got a pair of tickets for Dead Man Walking at the Lyric, November 2nd through the 22nd. I might even give that away. Stand by for all of that as we start with Tim in Uptown. You understand the concept, Tim?
Yes.
All right, John, are you ready?
Good morning, Tim. Here you go. In Japan, McDonald's, Ronald McDonald, is called Donald McDonald because it's easier to pronounce.
In Japan, Ronald McDonald is called Donald McDonald because it's easier to pronounce.
And Tim said a fact, correct? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yes. Tim is correct.
It is a fact.
It is a fact.
Wow. Joe, what would you like to give Tim?
Way to go, Tim.
Being a big Donald McDonald fan.
What does Tim want?
You like your pizza, Tim, or would you like an Apt gift card?
Lumel Nauti's would be awesome.
Lumel Nauti's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. 40 Chicagoland locations. Order online at lumelnauti's.com. Thank you, sir. Hold the line.
Wow. Tim was from Uptown, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better than watching Dave just look at me and shake his head.
Okay, Donald, I don't get it.
Donald McDonald.
I know.
Mindy's in McHenry. Hi, Mindy.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, fine, thank you. Where are you going? You going to work?
Yes, I am.
Excited? Going to have a good day?
Yep. Happy to have a job.
Aww,
I like your attitude.
Great. Oh,
what kind of job is it?
It's for Mariano's.
Oh, I love Mariano's.
Oh, Mariano's, sure. Yeah.
Mariano's has great chicken wings and chicken salad from the deli.
They do.
Yes, they do.
It's such a great... Like stuff already prepared, you walk in and take it and walk out.
That
it's
food
wonderful.
Bar, what is it, $10 a pound?
Yes, it's even
so
less
good,
than that.
Though.
Yeah, right. All right, Mindy, fact or fiction. Here we go, John.
Here you go. In the original novel, Wizard of Oz, the wizard's full name is Abadel Zanatowski.
Abadel Zanatowski. Boy, I love Abadel's voice, though. You got to be honest. I mean, her albums have
Towski?
Been tremendous.
Towski?
Abadel Zanatowski.
What do you think? Fact or fiction, Mindy? I don't have a clue.
I don't have a clue, so I'm just going to say fact. I don't know.
So fact?
Yeah, fact.
No, I totally made that up.
I was going to say, come on.
You know what, Mindy? You know what, Mindy? I like you. You win anyway. We have an app gift card for you. Stand by, Mindy.
Mindy has such a good attitude.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she loves her job.
App gift card for Mindy because everybody wins on the show even when they lose. First, visit their store in Glenview online at abt.com. The president's calling right after we take care of the news. Steve's job is to take care of the news, and the music means he starts now. Who dat? That's Sheila E. Sheila E's coming up live this week. Go play drums in studio.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I just like this. I knew Sheila a little bit back in the day, and I remember a long conversation we had where I said, hey, I'm a big fan, and she said, thank you, and she kept walking. So we were tight. At 7:10, the president will be calling in a second. Also, I'd love to hear from a kid who is missing school and missing school. You know, a kid that wants to go to school. We're now 4 or 5 days in, and it looks like it's going to run the week here, and I know a lot of kids are going, this is great, I'm sleeping in. But there's kids who love school. I love school. Well, I did back then. It'd be silly if I went back now. But if you know, you got a kid in your house that misses school, or you're listening now and you do, I'd like to talk to you. 312-981-7200. You can text as well. 7:10 now.
And, later, loser. Oh,
guy's like he's psychic.
Later, loser. Later, loser.
That's his ringtone for me. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you today?
Wearing my presidential harassment like a badge of honor, Cochran. Hey, before we get started, I just want to officially congratulate Prime Minister Al Jolson of Canada on his election victory.
That's not his name. You mean Justin Trudeau, but I did see what you did there. Yeah, he managed to squeak out a win, didn't he?
I tried to call him personally to congratulate him, but he was still celebrating, you know, painting the town black. I will tell you, he tricked a lot of voters into believing he was both the white guy running and the minority candidate. Genius.
Yeah, he's an innovator. Now, on to more important news. A U.S. diplomat and former ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor, 50 years of diplomatic service, testified to Congress yesterday, contradicted your claim there was no quid pro quo in regards to your call with the Ukrainian president, President Zelensky. So what do you have on that?
Well, Bill Taylor's a partisan hack, okay, first of all, because there was absolutely no quid, completely no pro, and definitely not even 1 ounce of quo.
No
totally
quo.
Quo-less.
No quo.
Totally. Believe me. By the way, I don't know if you know this, Cochran, but quid pro quo is actually an old Latin phrase that means Joe Biden did all three.
I did not know
He quitted, he proed, and without a shadow of a doubt, he absolutely quoed. Hunter, too.
Well, thanks for clearing that up. Now, why'd you change your mind about having the G7 at Doral? Did the Democrats kind of force you into this?
No, nothing like that. It was a simple mistake, really, a double booking conflict.
Oh, I see, a hotel problem.
Yeah, during the same time the G7 would have been at my resort, we also have the Lipschitz Bar Mitzvah. And we can't move that since they already locked in their deposit. So, oops, my bad. Totally.
It happens. Look, they say that your Doral resort hosting the G7 would be another violation on your part of the Emoluments Clause in the Constitution, sir.
Look, nobody knows anything about this Monuments Clause, okay? We're not even discussing my plans for a giant statue of me to rival Lincoln's on the National Mall yet, but that's right. Coming, believe me.
Sir, it's not monuments, it's emoluments.
Well, whatever the heck it is, nobody's heard of it. It's phony. We never even offered that course at the Trump U, okay? It's phony, that I can tell you.
Look, an anonymous senior official from your own administration, the same person, him or her, who wrote I'm Part of the Resistance, that op-ed in the New York Times a year or so ago,
right.
Written a new book about you. It's called A Warning, and it's not a very flattering picture. What are you saying about that?
Look, it's very sad, Cochran, but it's a fact of life. People will say whatever they have to in order to sell books. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I've been stabbed in the back so many times, that I've started wearing Kevlar golf shirts.
Probably smart.
I kind of miss the old days when the only ones stabbing me in the back were ex-wives, you know?
Hey, what about this Mitt Romney thing? Mitt Romney having a secret Twitter account under the name Pierre Delecto. Your thoughts on that?
Look, Mitt's a goofy guy, but I had no idea he'd be going on Twitter all stealth-like. I really didn't. But Pierre Delecto, I mean, that's a really great name if you're a French porn star. That I can tell you. Pierre Delecto. Very weird name. Not as weird as Reince Priebus or Carlos Danger, but close.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree. So, about that Romney fake Twitter account, sir.
Look, it just goes to show you that we've always known Mitt Romney is a coward. He's a coward that's too afraid to tweet under his own name. Now, if you're going to tweet, and I should know, just come right out and do it. Take out your phone, type every single thing that's going through your head without filtering yourself, and post them all at 4 in the morning. That's the real grown-up way to use Twitter, believe me.
And then you got this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who's endorsing Bernie Sanders. You been thinking about that at all?
Wow. Stop the primaries. Bernie's all done. He was so touched by AOC's endorsement, Cochran. He gave his her his two most prized possessions, his hammer and his sickle. It's true. Not only that, during AOC's endorsement speech, she stabbed three times for applause and twice to resuscitate Bernie. And then there's Michael Moore, too. Let's not forget about Mr. Elastic Pants.
Oh, yeah, Michael Moore. He endorsed Bernie Sanders, too.
I believe the last thing Michael endorsed before Bernie was Swanson's Hungry Man Frozen Dinners. Hey, Cochran, speaking of endorsements, can I just say I totally endorse actor Dennis Quaid's choice for a fiance?
I'll bet you do. 65-year-old Quaid proposed to his 26-year-old fiance, Lisa, I believe her last name's Savoy. She's a PhD student.
God bless Dennis. I've got to admit, if I had a hero besides myself, I would definitely be him. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this girl? I mean, she's a 10. She's maybe an 11.
Very pretty.
Maybe an 11. The only downside is she's getting a PhD and not a GED. Those three letters would have made all the difference, Cochran. Believe me.
Listen, finally, Mr. President, speaking of smart women, would you care to comment about the success of NASA's historic first all-female spacewalk?
I will tell you, that was such a tremendous success, especially for our country and for women. I mean, it really was. It was actually only supposed to be one woman going for the walk, but they ended up all going together when they thought there was a bathroom out there. You know how the ladies are, Cochran.
Once again, sir, you've done a fine job. We thank you for calling President Trump.
Later, loser.
I think he's really starting to like me. I don't know if you can tell.
There's no question about it.
Yeah, the emphasis on later loser has changed just slightly, and I think he's really warming to me now.
A little more touching.
312-917-200, callers, texters, that's the drill. We'll come back and do more.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook to tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best.
Not time for Dave to hit puberty.
Do it the best. I'm getting there. Believe me, it's taking a while.
Good for you. You're turning into such a big boy. If you have not had breakfast yet, maybe you do what I do. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'll roll through a McDonald's drive-thru and get a Diet Coke most mornings. That's my caffeine hit. But the people who work in fast food restaurants have put together a story for Business Insider. Business Insider, by the way, is under the radar. That is a very good website, which has a wide range of news. You would think Business Insider, what would they focus on, Dave? Well, business. And maybe inside stuff on business. They got plenty of that, but they also have plenty of life stuff, too. So here's some things fast food workers will want you to know next time you're in the restaurant or even in the drive-thru. Not knowing what you want before ordering is rude. Yeah, I've talked about this. You know who used to talk about this all the time, John, is our old friend John Panette.
Yep.
The late, great John Panette.
Yep.
He would say something subtle like this. They have hamburgers and fish and chicken. If you don't know what you want, get out of the line. Get out of the line. It's not going and sitting down and waiting for a wine list. It's McDonald's or whatever. It's no secret what they have. So know what you want while you're before you're in line. Staff members notice when you fill up your free water cups with soda. Are you guilty of that?
I've done it before. Well, no, it's just...
Do you owe Donald McDonald money?
Yes. I plead the fifth.
Well, you know, if you want a soda, buy a soda.
Well, you know, sometimes I am indecisive. I mean, I don't get in line until I know. But then sometimes I think, oh, I don't need a soda. Listen, soda's bad for
listen,
you.
Listen, I love you, but I can't imagine. I can see it vividly standing in line behind you and go, oh, what do I feel like? What do I feel like today? Do I feel fish? Do I feel chicken?
I am one of those people that have... I have super food envy, so if you go out to dinner with me, I'll be staring at your plate of food, and my eyes will be asking you, please ask me if I want a bite.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Please
like
share.
A golden retriever?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Here's something else. Using the bathroom without buying something is often considered rude. Look, I've done this.
Yeah.
Where I'm on the road, and, you know, I have a long commute. I live in a double-wide in East St. Louis, as you know. And, you know, you roll into a place where, you know, there's going to be an easy jump in the bathroom. And I go in. I sit. Now, I'm a large human being with a giant head. You know, it's not like I can sneak into places. And, you know, a fair amount of people know who I am. So I walk into a place and I stealthily go into the bathroom when I come out. And invariably somebody says, can I help you, sir? Or hi, Steve.
I always buy something if I do that.
Well, you should. And I almost always do. But I have used it without. I'm admitting. I'm being honest.
But what if the line is really long?
Then I go through the drive-thru.
Oh.
Yeah. And if that line's really long, I just take off. Let's see. Asking for tons of condiments or utensils can be frustrating for workers, especially if it's clear you're just stocking up at home.
I'm a condiment queen. I love, my fridge is just full of different condiments. So
aren't they laid out in most places? Like you pick them up yourself or do you have to ask for them?
Well, sometimes at a certain fast food chain that I can think of right now for their nuggets, they don't. You have to ask.
Is that the one that rhymes with McDonald's?
No.
Oh.
But you have to ask. And I like to have at least 4 different flavors of the dipping sauce.
Wow.
For the nuggets.
Wow. Yeah, McDonald's wild. Tells you that you get this many if you need more. You have to ask.
I get the
more.
Buffalo Ranch.
You're out of
Polynesian.
You're out of control.
The little bit of the barbecue.
And do you mix them together?
No, but I want
variety.
Yes.
You're really living it up.
Yeah.
You're going out. You're going to have a big night.
And you remember the Szechuan sauce that was out briefly? So I actually set aside about 20 of those little containers. I got a bunch of extra ones, and I've actually put them away.
They were selling those on Amazon.
On eBay. Yeah,
on eBay. That was it. Right. Yeah.
I don't do what Grzanich does, but I do ask because I like to line the sauces up, and then I also like to have the ketchup and a little bit of mayo, too. Sometimes I like a fry dipped in mayo.
All right, then. Could you get Homeland Security to watch her?
I got 3 of those. I got 3 of those Szechuan sauces left if anybody wants one. We'll start the bidding at $21.
Good call. Allowing your children to order their own meals might feel like a good way to foster their independence, but you're really annoying the crap out of the people right behind your cute kid. Making very specific order requests and adjustments can slow down the entire kitchen. Well, how specific can it get?
But, you know, I've done this even in drive-thru. I've been behind a car, and you can hear because their window's down. And they're like, yeah, I need a quarter pounder with cheese. Do me a favor. No, I want different cheese and no pickle, not like one pickle. Give me one pickle. I'm like, would you? Come on.
Right.
My daughter used to order the ham and cheese without the cheese. Shit from, I think it was Hardee's, but we were always traveling in Wisconsin. That was the only thing open. And she would be like, I want the ham and cheese without the cheese. I'm like, you can't do that. But they did it.
You know, I've done this. This drives me nuts. I've ordered a cheeseburger plain, and they go, okay, so you no cheese either. No, that would be a hamburger plain.
Well, you remember my friend Paul Coit in New York last summer.
That's right.
His daughter, he takes his little girl into a McDonald's, and he said, we'd like a hamburger. And they said, we only have cheeseburgers. And I said, well, can you not put the cheese on it? They go, no, we don't do that. He goes, no, I'll pay for the cheeseburger, but she just doesn't want the cheese, so could I get the hamburger instead of the cheese? We don't do hamburgers. And the last thing in this list is don't leave the table a mess. You're not at home, and your mom's not there to clean up after you.
I never do that.
Yeah, agreed. Glenn in Evanston says, a guy I used to know once tried ordering a pizza without the crust, claiming he was allergic to bread. Must have been before the whole gluten thing. You're talking about what? Just a bowl of cheese with pepperoni in there somewhere?
Well, he probably... Oh, like no crust at all.
Apparently.
Oh, it wasn't like cheese to the edges.
Well, that would be like if you had a combination muffin, pizza place, but it was like muffin tops and pizza tops. Like you wouldn't have the actual crust, right. Or you wouldn't have the muffin top, or the rest of the muffin, I should say.
That would be hard.
So, 773, I drive the people at McDonald's crazy because I order the yogurt parfait without the fruit.
Aren't they pre-made?
That's probably why it drives them crazy.
Yeah, because they have to fish it out.
Oh, God.
And then they give you the granola on the top, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that works. And then there's this, Steve, serious question. With all his talk and golf courses, is Trump a good golfer, or does he dress a 70, talk an 80, and shoot a 120? He's better than a 120. I only played with him one time in an exhibition when he opened a course in L.A., and I played three or four holes. He was a good player, but that was 15 years ago, maybe.
Wow.
And I would say right now, at the age of 72, he's probably about a 15 to 20 handicap, who doesn't claim that. So there's a book out by Rick Riley, former Sports Illustrated writer, called Commander and Cheat, if you want some funny golf stories about Donald Trump. Big, exciting day coming up. I'm getting a new phone. But I'm sticking what I have. I'm just doing the new version.
You hear that? He's getting a new iPhone.
I am so excited. You're finally joining us.
No, let me tell you
something. Way to go, Steve. iPhone Steve. iPhone Steve.
We can airdrop one another. We don't have to like text each other directly anymore. We can share on the cloud.
I don't understand you iPhone people. You're like from another planet.
You'll get the new emoji.
No, I'm an Android man from way back. The new Samsung Note 10 Plus. It's a little big for my pocket. I understand it's 4 feet by 4 feet.
Is it as large as an iPad?
It's a tablet. It's a phablet. You know that term? A phablet, the phone tablet. But I forgot. It's been 2 years. I've never held a phone this long. And it's been 2 years, and I forgot what a pain it is to make sure everything's backed up.
Well, see, if you had an iPhone, it would automatically back up
the cloud. I've got like triple backups for stuff. Because I want to make sure I save stuff I'll never look at. I want to make sure I save everything that I'll never use again. I'm almost like a phone data hoarder, you know, where I'm just keeping everything. But obviously with the pictures, but besides from the pictures, like when writing for stand-up or, you know, writing stuff down for the show, I'll take notes on anything. I got like 8 note-taking apps, you know, separately. I keep downloading new note-taking apps because I can't find one that I really like that I use every day. So they all have stuff on them. So you go through, you back up everything. And, you know, by the time you finish taking care, I mean, literally, it's been 2 days trying to figure out if I'm prepared to get a new phone.
You also take notes on the old-fashioned way. I see you over there writing little notes and then on pieces of paper that you then fold up into tiny, tiny little squares.
And then I put it in my car and I never look at it again. What are you nodding your head about this?
No, because let me explain something for those of you who don't know. I have written many checks to Steve for shows that we have done, and then I have to contact him a month later and go, "Hey, could you put that check in the bank?"
I didn't want to be rude. I want to give it time.
Instead of Bank Chevy, could we go to a real bank?
But I have a system. You know, if you move stuff, I won't know my system, but I do have a system.
Give me a check. I'll check. That's going cashed right away.
Don't you have PayPal or something like that?
You miss fancy. Yeah.
Venmo.
I tried to do that with him. That's Zelle. We're giving that
so
shot.
Easy.
I just go to the bank and get a cashier's check, and it's done.
I got PayPal. I got Venmo.
Zelle. You got them all, huh?
Zelle? No, I don't have Zelle.
Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E.
No, there's a personal reason I don't have Zelle.
Chase Pay.
And Chase Pay,
no. There's too many of them. It's very confusing.
No, I mean Venmo and PayPal. Why do I need anything more than that?
Well, some people it's tied to your bank. Different ones.
Yeah, I don't like it being tied to my bank.
Does anybody have an issue with the Note 10 before I go out and commit today? 312-981-7200.
Isn't the Note 10 the one that always caught fire?
No, that was way earlier. That was like the Note 5. They figured that problem out.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, I carry a Note 8 around all day and my butt's not on fire.
So. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you've noticed.
Did you ever hold Steve's phone? It weighs 17 pounds.
Now, you guys give me a hard time because I've got a backup battery.
Yes.
And the backup battery is like
bigger than
your nuclear power reactor. The backup battery can literally charge your phone 9 times.
It will come in handy.
But it weighs like 14 pounds. It's
during the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I know. I think that's true. The other change in tech today is Gmail. Gmail is going to start charging you for storage for everything. So when you reach the limit in Gmail for free storage, guess what? You're paying that. Now, it's not through the roof, but it's a couple of bucks a month. It's called Google Plus One, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, or Google One. It's one of those.
I only have half a million emails inside of Gmail because I never delete anything because I feel it's like it's unlimited storage.
Not anymore.
That's why I stick with the AOL.
Are you still on AOL?
I'm still on AOL.
Yeah, wow. I'm still on AOL.
Well, it's never been bad for me, so why change it?
But you have to pay for AOL, right?
No. I don't know. No. Okay. And you guys and your Gmail issues all the time. I'm like, what the heck?
Well, I'm at johndecause@8track.com.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
You have some phone advice for me?
Yeah, I actually have the Note 10 Plus. I love it. It's an awesome phone. But if you sign into your Samsung account, it will automatically transfer everything, including your apps and home screen and everything. So it'll look exactly the same.
So just sign into my Samsung account, put the phone down, and stop thinking about it.
Yep, and it will do everything for you.
You don't need that smart switch deal that I thought I had to use?
No, I mean, you can use a smart switch, but if you do it through the Samsung, if you back up your Samsung stuff, it will back up all your files and your apps and your home screen and wherever you have your apps, it will do everything for you.
Well, thanks for the tip, man. I appreciate it.
Yep.
You know, he didn't ask for anything, but give him one of Rokon's cars. Wanted anything else he wants at the prize list.
Well, I could see you just going inside of the store and asking the sales consultant to help you transfer everything over.
They don't do that anymore.
They do for a fee.
Oh, okay. Because they said, go on the app and do it yourself.
I always do it for me.
Well, that's because they like
you're
you better.
Cute.
Yeah. So I'm a big proponent of bricks and mortar stores. Like, I think it's important to go in and support these stores. But Verizon has done a thing now where Verizon charges less for you to buy the phone online, and then you pick it up in store. Or you can wait for it to be delivered to your house, obviously. So I just, there's a part of me that feels guilty about the fact that you're trying to run a brick and mortar store. You probably get a dollar for the $1,000 phone I'm picking up from you, and you got to hire somebody, and I'm coming into your store going, hey, I ordered it online. Can I have it? And I know everybody's doing it now. Target does a pickup, right? Best Buy started their pickup a long time ago. Walmart. I don't know. I have a lot of problems. I think you can clearly see. But new phone ain't going to be one of them because I'm going to have a new phone today.
Giant new phone.
Yeah. Well, my man Ray there just didn't make it sound like it was a bad idea.
Yeah, but Ray sounds like he's super technically savvy.
You don't think I am?
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
Mine's gasoline powered. Is that old school? It is 7:50. We got some more help rolling in on the phone about a phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve, I can get you a vintage bag phone for $191.
That's so funny. We were just talking about this. I had the Motorola Brick. You remember the Brick?
I can get you that for $999 on eBay.
Because that thing, with its giant stabby antenna that wasn't flexible at all, yep. And it weighed 2 pounds, had the little tiny screen on it, which sort of had like a digital readout, like a bad digital watch from the 70s. You remember that phone?
Yeah,
I do. How about a car phone in the car where it can only stay in the car?
Remember that? And then you do this. You couldn't wait to tell people, hey, how you doing? No, I'm in the car. Yeah, I'm in the car.
How many minutes you got left before right. they start?
Yeah,
that's right.
You had to pay for every minute. You left your driveway and you were roaming.
How much did that cost you?
The phone itself?
Yes.
The phone itself was probably $1,500, and then the phone bill was probably $2,000 a month.
Like, with inflation, what do you think that would cost you now?
$1,500,000. Mike, thanks for your very important help. I appreciate it.
Okay, I've got a call holding. I've got to put the antenna up. So okay,
That Motorola was a weapon.
I think it was the big brick phone that Zach Morris had in Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's what you had.
That's it.
Well, it's funny. Like, if you go back to the early days of cell phones, the movies are automatically ruined. They don't hold up at all.
That's right.
Because, like, if the story transfers or the story grows, it's great. But then you see, like, Bruce Willis in Die Hard with a brick phone next to his head going, hello, hello. Yeah, and it's over. So, anyway, I'll keep you up to date with my very important phone issue as time goes on. In the meantime, I have Kardashian news, if you'd like it. Kylie Jenner, who is she the richest Kardashian? Is she the one that has the makeup line?
Mm-hmm, the youngest.
And she's worth like $1 billion, right?
She is.
Kylie Jenner, age 22, had a video tour. This is the stuff that, when it goes viral, amazes me. and I know it's tied to the celebrity thing, but like Aunt Becky's daughter in this college scandal, she was a huge viral star. She's making a couple of million bucks a year. And she could have stayed in that game if her parents weren't cheating to try to get her into college. But she had, I don't know, a million followers, 2 million followers. And she would do stuff like, "Hi, guys. I know you've been wondering what type of eyeliner I'm using. All right, let me show you what I'm using now."
Well, everyone's making fun of these influencers that say, because everyone's been asking, "I know you've been wondering, you know," and no one's been asking.
Right. And meantime, they're making a bazillion dollars. But the thing is, it works. Just because I think it's dopey doesn't mean that the eyeliner is not meant for me. So those people who love Aunt Becky's daughter, I forget her name,
yeah,
were watching her. And Kylie Jenner, times 10. So she's doing a video tour of her office that went viral, and she went to wake up her one-year-old daughter. And I'll give you $1,000, Dave, if you can tell me the name of Kylie Jenner's daughter.
Okay.
That's right, Stormy.
That's what I was going to say.
She turned on the light, and she sang Rise and Shine. Just a little mom waking up the baby song. Rise and shine. You know, 3 seconds. She's now trying to trademark the phrase rise and shine.
Oh.
Come on.
Well, you know, she made Forbes' list of the richest people. Mm-hmm. And there was all of this controversy because they classified her as a self-made billionaire. And it was a huge issue as to whether she was truly self-made. And there was this entire debate about, you know, is she really somebody that can be classified as self-made? You know, it's definitely not a rags to riches story, or a, because of her connections with her family and the fact that she had so many multimillionaires already in her family, and her mom is a momager, that type of.
Well, I mean, Big Sister Kim's porn tape is really where all this started, right? I mean, I'm not wrong about that, am I?
Yeah, I think that is how she first became famous, but then she was able to turn that. The person I always think about is poor Paris Hilton because she
was
did this,
the famous one,
right? But she did this before the age of social media and influencers, right. And she missed out on it.
Too far ahead of the curve.
Not that she's you know, really to be pitied.
Yeah, the Hilton Hotel, your fortune, that'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. JK.
But speaking of JK, Justin Kaufman gets very defensive when you talk to him about the Kardashians.
Really?
Yeah, very big fan, and he thinks they should get credit for developing this business, no matter how it started.
Well, I mean...
And by the way, in the big picture, yeah, sure.
I mean, they've got to
definitely made it legally.
They've got to definitely be business savvy. It's just, you know, what is the actual product that they're putting out there and the message?
I always found it interesting that your mom would find out you did a sex tape and think, this is the business break we've been needing. It's a little odd, that's all. 7:55, news coming up at 8, and then we have your Moron Entertainment. We got more Fact or Fiction for prizes coming up as well. Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Rise and shine.
Steve Rzanich coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What time's the budget speech today, Steve?
10 o'clock this morning.
And is the entire speech going to be, I don't know, we've got an advanced text on it. We're broke, thank you.
That's basically it. The mayor's going to have to fill I think the estimate is about $838 million budget gap. We know some of the things that she'll propose in that, including refinancing some old debt. She's got some new fees and taxes, that new tax on downtown ride shares. So there's some things that she's going to propose today to try to fill the hole, but that's a lot of hole to fill.
Are we getting closer to a commuter congestion tax where you got to pay to come into the city like they do in London and various places?
Well, you know, they had been talking about that, and that may be one of the things that the mayor talks about. There are a couple of different taxes on transportation. One of them has just been billed as an existing ground transportation tax or building on an existing ground transportation tax. I think that probably has more to do with O'Hare Airport. But there are a couple of things in the budget address that we'll be watching for to see if maybe something specifically is an offshoot of that.
What about spare change for Chicago? Spare change for Chicago, where everybody just clears their car out of spare change and they drop it in a bucket. And I don't know who the we can make the alderman collect.
Yeah, we could do a GoFundMe page. Maybe a GoFundMe page would help.
That's too high tech. I'm just thinking about it cleans your car and you're giving change to the city. And
I don't think it'll help.
People could be on street corners like they do for other giveaways.
Boot drives and events.
Yeah, right.
How much spare change do you have in your car right now, Dave? Any idea?
I have probably, I just cleaned it out, so I have like 50 cents.
Oh, I probably got $5 or $6 worth of change. Yeah. John?
Yeah, I'm probably over 10.
You think you're over 10?
Yeah.
Multiply that by every car.
Yeah.
Right?
We need to do it quickly, though, because the holidays are coming up. We don't want to compete with the Red Kettle at all.
No, you don't want to take money away from legitimate charities. And by the way, if you come across an individual that's homeless and you pass them in the car, give them your spare change. But then tell the next guy behind you to double his. Right? Yeah. Spare change for Chicago. I just invented it just seconds ago.
Has a ring to it.
Right?
You going
to
copyright that?
I'm going to have Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
Trademark it. Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll be all set. What else is happening in show business? I don't know. But Dean does. He'll be coming up to tell us about that in just a second as well. 312-981-7200 is the number. Callers, texters, always welcome here. And the mayor's budget address happens this morning at 10 a.m. Obviously, we'll have coverage.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
hey, 10 in the morning now. Dean is live at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean. Yep, me too.
Hello.
How are you?
Except for forgetting to turn the button on. Fine.
Okay. I found a clown that you find. I finally found a clown you don't like.
Really?
Because you love clowns. For those who are new listeners, we should establish you love clowns.
I love clowns.
Started when you were just a boy and you were kidnapped by Bozo. But you love growing up in the great clown city where Bozo and Mr. Wizzo and Mr. Wizzo's friend Chuck. They all.
If you mean Wizzo the Wizard and Cookie the Clown.
That's what I mean.
Sandy the Tramp.
Yes, all of those. But
you know some tramps, don't you?
Oh, please. How much time you got? Joey the Clown Lombardo, the mob guy, died yesterday at 90. So I think I finally found a clown you don't like.
No, I like him, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Very colorful.
Yeah, not going to discriminate when it comes to the clowns.
I remember that one time that he pulled a seltzer bottle out of his violin case.
Right before he offed the guy?
turns out it just shot confetti.
You might be wondering why I jumped into the clown thing right away, because in my afternoon nap stupor, I saw the greatest Mary Tyler Moore from the 70s episode ever.
Chuckles Classic. The Clown.
Chuckles the Clown.
It's one of the greatest episodes of
TV
television period. Sitcom, period.
Yeah. Chuckles the Clown dies, it's the funeral, and they all can't stop laughing.
And she's given the eulogy, right?
I don't remember if she gave the eulogy because I was in and out of consciousness. But the eulogy, the piece of the eulogy that did him in was, I all remember when Chuckles used to say, a little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants.
That's yeah. The best.
That's fantastic.
She was the only one, because they all made fun of it in the office.
They all made fun of it.
And they were laughing, and she was furious. Like, how could you do this?
He just died.
Yes.
Right.
You'd be in that, so you know they ask her to say a few words, and she starts. She can't. It gets like that uncontrollable laughter that the people sometimes get. Never during this show, but
and they even go an extra step because they say, "Look, Mary, just let it out. Just let it
right,
out."
Right,
and
right.
And then she starts crying.
She's gone. So, by the way, John, at John's father's memorial service or funeral last
memorial
summer?
Service, yeah,
memorial service last summer. I thought we would be in trouble because.
Yes.
You, me, I think Tim Benker.
Yep. Toomey.
And Mike Toomey were standing in the back of the room, yucking it up.
Yep.
And, just peripherally, suddenly I see some folks looking at us like,
I know.
You are so out of line.
Oh, it was bad.
So I thought we were going to, I thought we were going to get thrown out of your father's funeral, which would have been really awkward for you.
For me, yes.
Was it just like during the visitation or during a eulogy?
More of a wake-ish thing.
Yeah, it was just an hour wake, quick thing. So yes, but we had people looking at us like, why are they laughing?
Yeah.
Right.
Comedians.
Yep.
Immature children.
Crazy.
You're going back to L.A. end of the week. What's that trip about?
I am. I'm going to see the Netflix movie, The Irishman.
All right. Now, I've heard a number of things about this. I was fascinated a couple of days ago on, I guess it was CBS Sunday Morning, to see the director, the Pacino, and De Niro all sitting down together.
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
I was busy on Sunday morning, so I didn't see that.
I always have your show on in the background. But I didn't realize this.
I love when people say that to me. Hey, did you see CBS Sunday morning?
Yeah,
not really. No, not so much.
How do you think it is when I get Monday through Friday Today Show quotes?
I know.
But it looks tremendous.
Everybody's saying I'll see it actually tomorrow night in L.A. Actually, here's my agenda for tomorrow. I'll be I fly to L.A. after I do the little TV morning show here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go on the red carpet for the premiere in Los Angeles at the Chinese Theater. And that's where I'll talk with Pacino, Pesci, Scorsese. Interestingly, all these legendary film figures. And I'm told Ray Romano is going to also be there. I think he's actually in the movie now that I think of it. At first I thought, well, that's weird to have an Everybody Loves Raymond guy with all these, famous actors. But now that I think of it, I believe he is also in the film. So that now I'm saying that it does make sense. But anyway, I'm going to talk to all these guys on the red carpet. Then I'm going to see the movie. It's 3.5 hours long, by the way.
Wow. Come on.
3.5 hours.
I can't go then. Because 3.5 hours is 10 peas.
It's, is that like one pea per 30 minutes?
No, they're using American money.
I don't even.
What is it? How many peas in the metric system?
3.5 hours is ridiculous.
How many peas Celsius is what I want to know.
Can I come back and see the rest of it another weekend?
It's going to be on Netflix, so you can stop and pee. Which would, by the way, would be a great name for a grocery store. By the way,
yeah.
So you can stop and go make a sandwich, do whatever you want, come back. Make it a whole weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to stop and pee. You need anything?
By the way, Pacino's 79 years old now?
I do know that.
Wow. No end in sight. I think De Niro's 75, 6, 7.
Is Pesci in the movie, Dean?
Yeah.
What was the last time he did something? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Dude, Where's My Car? It was the last movie he did was Dude, Where's My Car? Yeah. How old's De Niro?
I have to look it up. I'm going to guess 75-ish.
I mean, these are the guys.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to get 76. I'm going to get all those guys on the red carpet.
Oh, they're going to be they're angry. They're old guys. They're just going to be angry with
so
you.
So am I. It's a perfect match. And then the next day, a sit down one on one with De Niro. The others are not doing sit down one on one interviews. Only De Niro is.
Pacino's a much easier interview, don't you think?
Yes. De Niro, you have to sometimes pull answers out of De Niro.
He's a nice guy.
I've actually had very nice interviews with him.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
But it's not an easy conversation.
No. Did I ever tell you my De Niro story?
Mm.
And I apologize to interrupt, but so we did the original Meet the Parents here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And then the writer Greg Liena had them actually watch the original. So Robert De Niro watched me.
Ah, how great is that? How great is that?
That's cool.
No, it's ridiculous. I apologize, Dean. Sorry.
Here's a Pacino story that's not mine. A friend of mine lived in L.A. And in this building, there was this guy that had like the whole top floor. And nobody really knew what he did. An old guy. Like super old. Like 200. And she gets in the elevator one day and she has a sense somebody standing behind her that she hadn't noticed. She turns around because Pacino's tiny. And it's Pacino. And he looks at her and chokes him. He goes, good morning. And he was going to see his acting coach. His acting coach for forever lived at the top floor of this building. But he looked at her and, awkward elevator conversations. He had a white bag with him. And he just goes, would you like a donut? So she had Al Pacino offer her a donut. That's a big move.
These are all real characters.
Right?
De Niro is 76, by the way.
Yeah. And looks great.
Here's what I plan on doing if the interview starts to go south. I'm just going to say, so what do you think of the president?
That should light him up.
Yeah.
We'll come back and have Dean run through very important stories about E.T., Travolta, Nicki Minaj, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian.
They're all going to be on the red carpet, too, by the way.
And he's got a honey of a deal. Stand by.
You'll be calling his name. Oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Back to Dean. Kanye West had a little birthday surprise for Kim Kardashian.
Kim celebrated her birthday 2 days ago.
How old is she?
You know, I didn't look at that because... You
how old are her parts?
Steve, age doesn't matter to me.
Mm. Kardashians are ageless.
Actually, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. The Kardashians don't matter to me.
That's it. You just added an extra word.
She is obviously born in 1980.
37.
So, yeah.
8, 9.
39.
39 years old.
I think it's 37 out of that.
At first, the rumor is that Kanye was going to get her an Applebee's gift card, you know, which is a very nice...
It's a nice... I mean, it's a thought that counts.
It's a very nice gift. Instead, he makes a $1 million donation to her favorite prison reform charities. Now, does anything say happy birthday more than that?
You see her going, oh... That's nice, and then walking away.
It's a big deal to her. That was liked that very much. There are three organizations that work on exonerating people who are falsely accused. She's been very involved in those. So Kanye dropped $1 million to those charities in her wife's name, which is also nice. But wait, there was more. They also had a lovely dinner at her favorite Armenian restaurant. And then afterwards, they pulled up a beignet truck and a churro stand to their mansion outside. And the whole family enjoyed Kim Kardashian's birthday.
I wonder
if that'll be on the show.
I think Kanye's trying to get a little lucky.
Mm-hmm. Rise and shine.
Thank you. Nicki Minaj got married. Did they have the ceremony in her cleavage?
They did not. They had the reception in the cleavage. You wouldn't have the wedding there.
I'm sorry.
It'd be ridiculous.
I'm so classless.
They actually have not had a big formal wedding yet. She's working on a new album right now, but she said as soon as that's over, they're going to have a big ceremony. She's been dating this guy, Kenneth Petty, for about a year and a half now. So, congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Minaj.
So she broke up with Charles Schumer, the senator. Got nothing. I was trying to find a reference. I got nothing.
It's good, though.
Never start a sentence before you have the punchline.
Yeah, that was good.
An E.T. star was arrested.
Remember the kid that played Elliot? Elliot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Elliot. The little kid, his name is Henry Thomas. He's now 48 years old. He got arrested in Oregon. Police got a call about a suspicious vehicle. They found the vehicle.
His bike? Was he riding his bike super fast?
He was not riding his bike this time. It was an actual automobile. Found him passed out behind the wheel. Turns out they allege he was intoxicated. So he was charged with a misdemeanor DUI.
Travolta, Olivia Newton-John reunion. Dean has those details on TV, but let's go to the honey of a deal.
Steve, we love our real estate listings. As you know, this is my side. Really, this is becoming more of a full-time gig for
me,
handling celebrity real estate.
Right.
And Michael Jordan has a couple of listings right now. You remember Michael Jordan?
He's still trying to sell his Lake Forest house.
He is still trying to sell that home. He has reduced the price on that home now.
That's good news for me.
It's down to $9.7 million. It's actually in Highland Park, actually.
Oh, okay.
Highland Park, but $9.7 million. It's gorgeous. You get that gate right on the front with the big number 23 on it.
Right.
That's got to be worth $9.5 million just by itself.
All right, so here's the deal. As you know, I always carry cash.
Oh, wait. Well, no, wait, before you make the offer, though. He's also trying to sell his Park City, Utah home at the same time.
How much is that one?
This is a 10,000 square foot mountain getaway. He paid $7.9 million for it. He will let it go for $7.5 million. That's a bargain.
You know, for commute purposes, I think the Chicago home is going to be better for me. In the meantime, I have $184 in cash, Dave.
Wow.
I have $12 today.
$196, G?
$42!
Wow!
Somebody paid me for their part of dinner.
$238, John?
$116.
$238, $116. Carry the five. That's $354.
Now, I'm going to put the bid in, but just for you potential thieves out there, 303 East Wacker Drive. That's where all these high rollers will be leaving the building around 10 o'clock today.
$354. All right, so there you go. Let us know how that goes. And as always, that's straight cash, homie.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're back with the headlines next. All right, it's 8:39. John DeCosta's here. John last year did a benefit. Well, it's a couple years, right?
No, it was last year. Last year was my first year with them. This is their 30th was last year. This is their 31st.
And they are?
They are Lee Linklater from Assisi Foundation. And Christy, I don't know your last name, and I apologize.
Goldberg.
Very good.
And you guys brought in props, because those can't be real dogs. They're too cute to be real.
What's not to love?
They're very, very cute. A couple of 10-week-old puppies.
Oh.
Super Joe, are we picking that up on a stream? Do we need to move them somewhere? Or can they see the doggies?
Yeah, they're on the stream there.
Yep. Okay. All right. So, Lee, tell me about that dude there.
All right. This is a little pair, brother and sister. It's Napoleon and Josephine.
That's tremendous. Right? That's tremendous.
They're recent arrivals. They've had their first doctor's visit, and we thought they were just too cute not to bring out and show them off today.
They seem very mellow.
They are mellow. They slept all the way out, and they didn't even snore.
How about that?
That's pretty good.
That's very impressive. And you said they're 10 weeks old?
Yep.
And adoptable?
Adoptable eventually. By law, you know, in Illinois, nothing can leave a shelter, et cetera, without having been spayed, neutered, thank heaven. So they're not quite old enough for that little procedure. Oh, so
I was 3 days old and I was adopted. I don't remember being spayed or neutered.
Now, wait a minute. Explain that. Is that true?
Yes, yes, yes.
So they can't leave the shelter without being spayed or neutered?
They are supposed to be spayed or neutered, yes, or there has to be a medical reason with a veterinarian signing off saying that okay. will be taken.
Well, that's good for everybody.
Yes, it is. We're trying to control this overpopulation situation.
So the Assisi Animal Foundation started when?
In 1988, we opened the door of the first no-kill shelter that we built there.
Do you believe it's been 31 years?
We've been doing
years?
It for a long time before that. And even before we opened the door on the shelter, which was being finished, we had started the first organized program of animal-assisted therapy. So we've been doing that since 87.
Oh, so you were the leaders. You were ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, well, it was new. It was okay. Very new. It had begun on the West Coast. It wasn't our idea, but it was a darn good one, and we're still doing it.
Are we talking about comfort animals for people?
Yes.
Okay.
We go to nursing facilities, assisted living, that sort of thing.
What animals are best for that?
Dogs and cats.
Yeah. Not horses.
Not for us, but they are used. The mini horses.
Miniature
used.
Horses, yeah. There was one on an American Airlines plane that caused quite a stir. And as I said, John, to you, I believe if you need that, I certainly sympathize with you. It's great, but maybe ride the horse taking the plane.
Instead of getting on the plane. That's a good point.
That's another way to be close to it. Now, you have a big benefit coming up.
Yes, we do.
But John, are you available?
I did it last year, and I had so much fun, and it was just a great night. I'm out of town this year, but Mike Toomey, our good friend Mike Toomey from WGN-TV, will be in my place doing the funny. So,
it's nobody funnier than Toomey. Yeah, that's a pretty good trade.
That's the best. That's a trade up. Mike is phenomenal.
And when will that be?
That will be Saturday, November 2nd. It's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks away.
It's a wonderful evening, dinner, dancing, entertainment with Mike.
Yeah, and Lee, you want to give away another pair of tickets. Now, we've had this talk before. You're giving away tickets to a benefit. We need to raise all the money we can. So here's the deal. I'll give these tickets away, but only if the person that calls buys two more. Okay?
Deal.
All right, so you can have two, bring your best friends, but you have to buy two more. You know, and if you average that out, the cost of those tickets are 44 cents a piece. So it's a great deal. It's a great deal. Now, if you want to get tickets, what do you do?
You call us, please, at 815-455-9411. That's the Assisi Animal Foundation in Crystal Lake, 815-455-9411.
All right, and the event again coming up.
And this one will answer the phone.
This one would be the little Chihuahua-ish dog.
That would mean Napoleon.
All right, so here's the number for us, 312-981-7200. If you can go on November 2nd to this fabulous event at the Crystal Lake Country Club, you will help this fabulous shelter continue the great work they do, the Assisi Animal Foundation. But again, you got to buy two tickets along with the two I give you for free. So the four you're going, okay? 312-981-7200. And John, what else would you like to say about this fine event?
You know, we went there last year. We went to the actual, I guess, where you live, basically,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
Christy Vicari, our photographer, came. We took some photos. And it was so much fun. It was just, you take such good care of them. What a great place to go and rescue or adopt a dog.
Thank
because
you.
It's just, the atmosphere was wonderful. And they were so adorable. It was hard for me not to leave with one, but we at the time we had two, so you know,
we had to drag him out kicking and screaming.
Yeah, it was
usual.
Rough.
Well, what you don't know is John and Jackie lost Chelsea this year, and Chelsea was, you know, a big part of your family, obviously.
No question. Yeah.
No one will ever replace Chelsea, but you are, as we say in the business, one dog down.
Well, we got Madison. We adopted her in March. And that was we always wanted two. So we had three for a little while. But actually, Lee was the one who turned me on to having that taken care of at home, which was a huge, huge difference for us.
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful, it really was.
Being able to say goodbye to your family.
Yeah. I put Chelsea on the bed. It was a great way to say goodbye. It was so much better for her. For everyone. That's true. And but that function last year was so much fun. That was, and that's at the Crystal Lake Country Club.
Lake Country Club.
Cocktails, right? Dinner, dancing, entertainment, and an auction too. 312-981-7200. You can't really have any of the pets there that night, I guess, can you?
No. The only time we've had a pet there was right after 9/11,
okay,
when we turned the entire event around to salute the people who were the first responders.
First responders, sure.
And a couple of them were from Illinois, and they brought their service dog with them. And even though they were not allowed, dogs were not allowed in the club, this dog was dining with us, and the chef hand-carved roast beef for the dog.
It's a pretty good day to be a dog.
That is.
312-91-7200. Again, I'll give you a pair of tickets to this if you can make it. And it's November 2nd, but you got to buy two more. And for everybody that wants tickets, where do they go again?
Again, 815-455-9411. Thank
you. Absolutely. And John, last word to you.
No, listen, I'm just, good luck this year. It's 31, and I want 31 more. So this is excellent.
Great.
So we keep this going because this is really a great
cause. Yeah, I mean, you really are. Listen, you're really a good person. And as a good person, not just doing this, but you got a good soul and a good heart, and you mean well every day, and we need more of you. So thank you for the work you do.
Thank you.
Now, the next time you bring somebody in, tell her to pipe down a little. She was awfully talking.
Poor Kristen.
What? No. Ryan will be over at City Hall for the budget address. He's headed in that direction, so stay with WGN News. And we will give you all the information you need to know about that.
And, Steve, by the way, I'll interject here that we will stream the budget address live on our website at WGNradio.com.
Do you get a pre-copy of the text or not so much?
Not so much. No, we get people saying what from the mayor's office, sources telling us what we expect to see in it, but not a verbatim text.
What we expect to see is we're broke. It's just a question of how the money's going to be made up. Is she going to make suggestions today or talk about things that are definitely going into play?
She is going to be making she's going to be outlining some plans, actually. So she's one of the things she's going to do is propose, and this is could be a big one, is refinancing existing city debt. That could consolidate some money there. There are going to be new and higher taxes and fees from city vendors. Those people who do business with the city are going to have to pay a little bit more. And 3,000 jobs, city jobs, are going to be eliminated. These are jobs that have been vacant but kept on the books, and so that's going to be quite a bit there. She's also going to be talking a little bit about taxing ride shares and how perhaps to work with Springfield on fixing the casino problems to get a casino in the city, and also about how recreational marijuana money will be spent once that comes into play.
I never have a lot of patience for people who go, well, if you don't like it, don't live there. But it is going to get to a point where if people can leave, they're going to leave if it becomes way more expensive to live in the city. And it's already expensive to live here.
It is already expensive. I think I was telling you maybe privately that, you know, my property taxes, I live here in the city, my property taxes go up considerably every year. And it's going to get to a point where I won't be able to afford that anymore either. And I know there are some other folks, especially people who are on fixed incomes, who have been dealing with that. You either have to move out of the neighborhood you're in or move to a cheaper neighborhood, or in some cases, and I have a couple of people that I know that are already making plans to move, one of them to Indiana next year.
I don't know what the mayor can do that doesn't hurt. When you're almost $1 billion in debt, you got to give more. But I certainly understand that people in this city going, are you kidding me? The reason we're almost $1 billion in debt is because you people at City Hall and in Springfield have screwed this thing up so badly. So it's the price of living in Chicago or New York or any major city, and this is the greatest big city in the world. I just think it's unfortunate that it has to go to this, but there's no other answer.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this report. It was on the Channel 9 News last night. They had a Nobel-winning economist talk about how much from Illinois, just as Illinois' pension problems, the debt that we have in Illinois, it would take each of us paying $30,000 to pay that off.
It's just insane. Yeah, and by the way, bipartisan problem. Republicans and Democrats have both screwed this up. There were some teachers downstairs picketing earlier. I know they've moved on to picket in other places. What do we know of the march that's going to go on? When is that happening?
It's happening right now. The teachers who were downstairs outside of our building, there were apparently three meeting places where the teachers were going in three different locations to meet at those, to gather at those places, and then march to City Hall. And that's what they're doing right now. Mary probably knows more about where they're seeing those, but I've been seeing on social media and some other videos that have been posted already. Streets have been blocked off. Traffic has come to a standstill in many areas as these teachers make their way over to City Hall.
Is there another way this could have been done, Mary Vandeveld, without screwing up traffic?
Well, I don't know. They're not blocking things for very long. Like they were here at Michigan and Columbus, I would say 10, 15 minutes, that was it. And now, you know, they're marching to Randolph, Michigan and Randolph, Jackson and Wacker, also Franklin and Van Buren before they get to City Hall. So I think they're doing it kind of in a good way, you know, just slowly but surely, so they don't have to block traffic for longer than maybe 10, 15 minutes.
So, out of this day, the news coverage that happens tonight will be largely about the city budget and whether or not there'll be school tomorrow. We already know, I think, Steve, right, there won't be any school tomorrow, regardless of what happens today. Friday, we don't know yet. So, what comes of this march?
Well, I think the march, if anything, it puts more pressure on, you know, there may be people, as we talked about earlier, in the crowds of people waiting to get to their jobs because of these teachers marching, who may feel, you know, they may feel like they need to pick up the phone and say, hey, let's settle this. And whether that call goes to City Hall or to the teachers union or both, that's the kind of pressure that would come to play on leaders to get something solved. I think one of the aspects that we will see in coverage later today is just how serious the city's money problems are. I think the mayor can use this address today to, I mean, when you see $838 million budget gap for next year alone, that in itself is huge. But I think the mayor can articulate today just how bad the money problems are, and that won't be good for teachers.
Lori Lightfoot's an extremely intelligent woman. Do you think she knew what she was getting into when she said, I want to be mayor?
I have to think she did. You know, these issues were present during the campaign. Anybody running for mayor would have had to know that these were going to be there. I don't know that she knew that this budget situation was as bad as it was, because it feels like over the last 6 months that has become worse.
Ken's on the south side. Ken, what do you want to say about the teacher strike?
I just want to say, you know, as an officer, we didn't have an opportunity to strike. We had to still go to work without contracts. Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying is, I know they're trying to get their point across, but what I want them to understand is we're messing our children's education up because they don't have the opportunity to get the scholarships that they want. And you got seniors trying to lose out. Why don't, if they say they care about our children, why are they not saying half of y'all go there so our children can get these educations?
Well, listen, I think you make a very valid point. I appreciate it. I appreciate your passion about it, because the point has been made. The issues have been laid out. How about you go back to work while the strike is settled? And I know the argument's going to be we have no leverage if we do that, but what do the cops and the firemen have to do? Just a thought.
Hey, Ma, can we get some meatloaf?
Ho, neighborinos.
We need two big pizzas, man. Everything on them.
Hi, ho, neighbor.
Nobody nothing in my neighborhood.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It is time now for G to do her thing, which she does every Wednesday, which that is Neighborhood Eats. And, you know, we have an apprentice on More on Entertainment. It's John.
Yes.
John knows food. He could be your apprentice on Neighborhood Eats.
Well, I think he has far exceeded apprentice status in terms of Neighborhood Eats. I really enjoy when he's here on Wednesdays because I love his two cents. He's quite the... you enjoy dining.
We do. My wife and I do.
I love that. So this week it is Rue Chicago, R-O-O-H, Chicago, on Restaurant Row, Randolph Street, in the West Loop.
That's expensive.
You know what?
I don't mean the restaurant. I mean the rent.
Oh, yes.
The real estate there.
The rent is
I mean, you
expensive.
Know, you're not going to have people just coming in there for 10 minutes. These are people that are coming in to be a part of that. They want to be a fixture.
Absolutely. And things are chic there. It's hip. It's happening, and there hasn't been an Indian restaurant recently, and Rue Chicago is sort of setting the standard. It's authentic.
Good.
It's traditional flavors, but it's elevated.
It'd be great if we had somebody from Rue in with us.
We do.
What?
Have somebody. Yes, we have the owner, Manish Malik, is with us. Hi, Manish.
Hey, good morning.
Nice to see you.
Okay.
Congratulations.
So thank you so much.
When I was telling Steve about this during the commercial break, he's like, what do you mean by progressive? Do you mean politics? I'm like, no. So I'm going to have you describe that, if you don't
what
mind.
What is progressive Indian?
It's basically using the traditional flavors of Indian spices that have evolved over thousands of years.
Sure.
But integrating them with modern gastronomic techniques.
Fusion?
No.
Not fusion.
We are not fusion. We are, you know, traditional Indian from a spices standpoint, but progressive from using modern ingredients, different ingredients that are unique to Indian food, like avocado or tuna in our street food, a very popular street food enjoyed by billions every day.
Okay.
Pronounced bhel. So we use tuna, and that's unheard of, and guests are loving it.
So it's like a lot of modern cooking techniques, a very refined approach, a modern approach.
Yes.
And then they also source local ingredients as well. And the cool thing about this is I want Manish to explain how he got involved. And you are a Chicagoan. How long have you been in Chicago?
More than a decade, about 11 years now.
And how did you come upon Rue, and why did you want to bring Rue to Chicago?
Great question. You know, I came to the country back in 95. Landed in Ohio, went to school there, but you know, heard about Devon Street in Chicago, which was a very popular place back then to go and feel at home and enjoy Indian cooking and so forth. So we would drive down, and you know, it was like an event on a weekend. Finish our schoolwork, come here, enjoy a meal, and literally drive back 12 hours.
So you weren't a restaurant guy then.
I wasn't.
Okay.
I was, I did an MBA in finance.
The corporate world.
Yes. Spent 20 years in the IT world, but stumbled upon this concept in San Francisco and met executive chef, and was literally blown away.
Well, that's the thing, right, about a chef. You got to find a chef that can pull this off.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and when you see it, you just, you know, get drawn to it.
But this was nothing like you had ever experienced on Devon Street.
No, absolutely not. You know, Devon is all about buffets and traditional food. And based on whatever I saw over the last 20 years, you know, there's no professional focus on cooking Indian food. What I mean by that is, you know, the talent. There's no culinary experiences.
And the Rue that he experienced and what Rue showcases is India today. So if you travel to major cities in India today,
absolutely,
it is progressive, it is modern.
Yep.
There is a rise of India right now.
Are we talking about the big cities, Mumbai and
yes,
and Bhopal and various
big
places?
Metros, yes. Yeah. And, you know, in fact, we have Michelin star chefs coming to India and setting up shops or pop-ups and collaborating.
Where'd you find your chef? I mean, I know he's sitting to your left, but where'd you find him?
Well, actually, this is Chef de Cuisine, Sahil Sethi, who is second in command of...
Oh, that's true. You don't want to say you're the head guy. Chefs are crazy.
Well, he is. He is technically the head guy. But Executive Chef Sujan Sarkar is actually traveling today. Yeah. But Sahil, if you want to describe some of the food that you have there, that would be amazing.
Yeah, so basically it's a journey to India. So we have taken inspiration from different parts of India. It's not just limited to North cuisine or the cuisine from South of the Indian chapter. But it's again, wherever we find inspiration from, could be North, South, East or West, is to bring down that flavors and inculcate that into our cuisine. Is also experiencing something which Midwest Produce has to offer. So everywhere we open restaurant, which Chef Sujan is basically bringing our Indian innovated ideas and using the local produce from that particular region where the restaurant is located at. So,
and where did you learn your craft?
Me, I've learned all from all over the India, and plus I've done my stages with Noma in Copenhagen.
Which is like the best, one of the best restaurants in the world. Yeah.
And I love talking to your chefs about this. What's your favorite thing on the menu?
On my menu, yeah, is going to be the tuna bill that we're presenting today, because it's an amalgamation of something which is raw, which is like a ceviche, and then we amalgamate that with the Indian cuisine as well. So something which is unheard of in Indian cuisine, and beef short rib. I'm not a beef lover. Yeah, but again, when it comes to eating something like a beef short rib, why not? Because it's paired with a Madras curry. So flavors of India, of course, paired with the beef that is, again, of a high quality grade, which is from U.S. So
We are literally breaking myths and perceptions, you know.
Well, also sounds like you're innovating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But this isn't the stereotype buffet with
all,
like, really, like, the spices aren't overpowering to the point where you can't taste the actual star of the dish, right?
Absolutely, because
you want to enjoy the dish, not smell like the dish for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you want to enjoy the flavors, not get overwhelmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, hot food. I mean, Indian food doesn't have to make you sweat. Mm-hmm. The spices don't have to make you sweat. The spices need to enhance the flavor.
Yeah.
You need to feel it.
And the cool thing Manish said is, like, this is, like, if you go to India today, and if you're in the city, this is, you're going to experience something similar to what Rue is doing.
Absolutely.
It's not, and Devon is still, we love Devon, and we love that kind of traditional,
yes,
old school style,
absolutely,
but it's kind of something that you would have experienced 20 years ago.
Exactly. We haven't evolved.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. So I'm looking at the menu. Okay, a couple of things. I was, first of all, price. These are more than reasonable. I was at my wife and I went to a franchise steak place from down under. I won't say the name. and the prices were even more than you have. And also, I'm ready to order. So can we take that? The roasted butternut squash, I'm telling you right now, I want that. And the whole sea bass, the sea bass?
That's my favorite.
Come on.
It's delicious.
I would go any place for sea bass.
Yeah, it is delicious. It's outstanding.
And just a quick mention, they do have a special coming up for Diwali, if you can quickly explain what Diwali is.
Diwali is a festival of lights, the victory of good over evil, celebrated by billions in India and around the world. So,
and fast becoming an international holiday.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And it's just a celebration of life, you know. And we have a tasting menu, $85, including gratuity and taxes.
Wow.
It's 4-course, and, you know, we have a one-day special menu created, curated by Executive Chef Sujan Sarkar and Chef de Cuisine Sahil. So it's going to, you know, tickets are going fast.
And you mentioned this out the air, but I think it's worth mentioning, too, even though we're long here. And that is that even with the explosion of the Indian population in the greater Chicago area, this is not a restaurant just for natives. This is for everybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see it every day. I'm there every day. And it really is thrilling to see the reception we've gotten from the community.
Yeah, you know, by the way, coming from IT, I don't know if you know this, your first restaurant's not supposed to work.
I know.
It's supposed to be a flop.
I've invested in a lot of derivative instruments, and I know how risky they are.
Yeah.
This is right up there.
How about that?
But I guess all that training has helped me build up my
Congrats
risk
on the success.
Thank you so much.
Where do we read about it?
Oh, on the Sun-Times website and WGN Radio's website as well.
WGNradio.com.
Yep, and you can get reservations at roochicago.com.
Spell Rue.
ROOH Chicago.com.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Thanks so much.
And congrats on the success.
Thank you very much.
And we'll come over, and John will attack you for your sea
bass. We look forward to it.
Okay. I also want to order two paneer chili rolls.
Okay, we're still on the air, John. We'll take a break. Come back in a moment on 720 WGN. Were we talking about this on the air or off the air? We're talking about on the air by David Ross. Yeah. When the mics are out, is that on the air or off the air?
Sometimes it's both.
Okay. We're going to play Fact or Fiction at 312-981-7200. If you want to get in quickly, play a little Fact or Fiction, I suggest you do it right now. 312-981-7200. And get on hold. We'll get to you next. When will we hear about the Cubs managerial announcement of David Ross that they're trying to pretend is an official?
Normally, baseball frowns on announcements, significant announcements, during the World Series or at least on the day of a game. Mm-hmm. So, indications based on what we're hearing, there could be something tomorrow, which is an off day in the World Series.
All right, so sometime tomorrow they'll make it official what we know today, that David Ross will be
David
the next
Ross
manager.
Is apparently going to be the guy. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and not surprising, because he was the favorite going in.
Yeah,
and he was the pre-race favorite.
Yeah, I still don't understand why it's not Girardi, other than the fact that Girardi has some pretty strong ideas about how to manage and wants control of the club, and maybe the guys on top don't. Jed and who's the other guy that won the World Series a couple times?
The Theo guy.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I think Joe Girardi would have been a great choice. I think they had. This guy, Joe Espada, with Houston, was very highly regarded and apparently a strong contender. I think they had some other good guys. They had a good list, but I do think that, this is the trend. Guys who haven't managed, but putting them in charge of a dugout, and there have been some results that have been pretty good with it. So,
you know, I played football at the highest level of upstate New York,
yep.
And I have been
where?
Named, I have been named.
You mean longitude or latitude?
Latitude.
Okay.
I have been named the new coach of the Chicago Bears. I don't want to announce it yet, but it's guys that have never coached.
Yeah, but sometimes you need that fresh perspective.
Mm-hmm. I certainly have the wardrobe. We got a bunch of people lining up to play Fact or Fiction. We also have Ryan Burrow standing by. So, Ryan, are you with me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right here. I don't know if you guys can hear me okay.
Can hear you just fine. Tell us what's going on at City Hall.
So we are marching right now. Well, I should say the teachers are marching. We're kind of in the media off to the side. We're heading westbound right now towards City Hall. These are literally thousands of teachers. They walk right underneath our building. That's kind of their gathering place. And they plan to make some disruption in downtown Chicago during the rush hour times. And, of course, ahead of Mayor Lightfoot's budget speech that's supposed to happen at about 10 o'clock. So the hope is for them that you will be able to hear their voices through those windows, through those walls, while the mayor tries to deliver her speech.
All right, so you will have this as it progresses and update us as time allows. Please please stay safe out there and pretend you're a teacher if anything gets rough.
It's getting pretty rough. I see a tuba.
Well, that's how you know there's trouble. That's right. He's
They're
out covering
out the
it.
Tubas.
All right, a couple of quick Fact or Fictions before we have to break here. At 9:26, her name, is Carrie in Stockton. Carrie, are you ready to play?
Sure.
All right. So, Fact or Fiction, John.
There you go, Carrie. Madonna suffers from brontophobia, or fear of thunder.
Well, that's interesting. It's so weird on off the charts. It's got to be true, don't you think, Carrie?
I'm thinking it's true, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Fact.
That is a fact.
Nice. You're a big winner. Hold the line. Marilyn is in Geneva. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning.
All right, here we go, Marilyn. Get ready. John?
There you go, Marilyn. Dolly Parton entered herself into a Dolly Parton lookalike contest for drag queens and actually won.
Oh, you know, this sounds true, too, but it can't
be. Well, that sounds really true.
You think it's true?
I do. I think it's true.
All right.
No, I'm sorry.
No!
Steve, that's not fair. You influenced her.
I did. You're a winner Marilyn, because I took you down the wrong path. And let me get one more in here. We got less than a minute. Go, John.
World's oldest hotel has been in operation since 705 A.D.
705 A.D. Dan, is that true or false? Is that a fact or fiction?
That's true.
That's a fact?
It's true.
Yes.
It is. It is a fact.
And it's a Motel 6?
Yeah, in Japan. It's a Motel 6 in Japan.
Except back then it was a Motel 1.
It's actually half.
Is that the one that'll leave the light on for you?
Yeah, but they didn't have lights. We'll leave something burning. You're a winner, too. Stand by. All of the folks on the show today win prizes, including Lou Malnati's gift certificates at loumalnati's.com and app gift cards at abt.com as well. We also have some desktop indoor weather stations from our friend at American Weathermakers. Com. All of that coming up, or all that's being distributed now. What's coming up next are headlines. All right, joining us now on the phone is Maria Moreno, who has been teaching in the Chicago public school system for most of the last 30 years. I think it's 28, Maria, is that right?
Yes, 28 years. This is 28.
And what do you teach?
I teach high school mathematics.
We are a brave woman. We thank you for that. What school?
George Washington High School.
Right. I know you're at the rally now. All right. So in 28 years, if memory serves, this is what, your third strike?
I want to say third, and we did a walkout for a few times. This is the most important one, I think.
Yeah. How does it feel different?
How does it feel different?
Different from the other times.
Before we were fighting for us, in a way, but now we're really fighting for the communities we serve.
Well, that's one.
You know, we need nurses. We need more social workers. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, because of your experience. This takes on a bigger sort of footprint than other strikes do, because it's not as clean as just we want more money, we want more benefits. What do you feel, and what is the union telling you you're succeeding on? In other words, what are you getting closer on?
Well, what we're feeling out here is that the Lori Lightfoot is not negotiating at the table with her lawyers, and what we know is that the people stopped negotiating yesterday. Like, they're not trying to talk to us.
Can you describe a little bit, Maria, why it's so important for the teachers to have one nurse in each school and a social worker, and why class sizes matter to you so much?
Well, definitely the rise in mental health issues. We're more aware. The society is evolving, of course, and we are more aware that children need more support. And I think that's what's happening. We, the teachers, are standing up for our children. The kids are, you know, it's not the kids that have everything. It's the kids that need us to speak up for them. The ones that are underprivileged, children of black and brown history that, you know, grow up in poverty. That's who I know most of us are fighting for right now. They need nurses.
And you're
they need people to talk to.
And you're saying without this, you're not able to properly teach in the classroom.
Oh, I'm going to, for my own record, I am one of those people that really loves the kids, and I will stop class to try to, counsel. And it's not fair. I'm not supposed to. I need to get back on track and give them the rigor they deserve. But the kids also need people to talk to. They need those supports. This year I have two children that have diabetes, type 1. So when my baby's getting sick or something, I have to, like, pull them to the sky. You know, how are you doing? Let's check your blood. You know, it's not my job to do that.
No, I know.
I'll do it. But
right, but 1,000%, you can't teach a classroom if you're doing three jobs instead of one. Steve's in the newsroom.
Definitely.
Steve?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the homeless situation with the housing issue. Talk to us a little bit about the homeless students who are in school and why it's so important for teachers to be fighting for them.
Oh, well, I can't imagine. I've never lived through that, but I've had students tell me they're, you know, they live in a car, and it's unrealistic to be able to perform at a high academic level if you're worried about, you know, being warm or eating.
Sure. No, it takes step away from all of it. Now, the other thing is, my daughter's a teacher, so I'm a little biased here. but having said that, there's only so much money. So if the argument is not about money, if the raises have been agreed on and that's off the table, it seems like we could meet in the middle. What about that offer of a nurse and or a social worker in school and in every school over the next 5 years? It feels like a long time to get that done.
I don't know. I hope it happens.
Right, but you'd like it done sooner than that, I'm assuming.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy thing to do, and I was joking around, but I'm like, I'd rather be in the classroom, definitely, preparing my students for these jobs, you know? We don't want to be out here.
Yeah, and I'll let you go on this, but sure, I'll let you go on this. But also, we thank you and all teachers because we know that it doesn't end when you go home at night. And I've seen my daughter do it, and the amount of money you spend on school supplies and things because it's not in the budget or extra things that aren't in the budget. I know that's part of the story too.
Definitely, I teach high school math, so I do ask for calculators every day. But the kids, you know, a handful could afford it or bring them. So I bought my own calculator set for my room. My school does provide them, but they're old now, so we got to keep up with the technology to keep the kids, you know, competitive, make them competitive.
All right, last word, G.
So,
Maria,
yeah, thank you.
Maria, what do you say to those people who are arguing that if you really cared about the students, you'd be in class and not interfering with their, you know, senior year or intramural sports or potential scholarships, and who also say, well, gosh, you know, $100,000 in 5 years, that's a lot of money, and you guys have summers off. Like, what do you say to those folks who are bringing up those kind of arguments?
It does bother me that the kids are losing out, but at the same time, the administrators, the Lori Lightfoot, they knew that this was going to happen if they didn't come to agreement. You know, had time happen, but we're doing this as a resort. It's not something we're taking lightly. People knowing that my soccer kids are, you know, universities.
The phone is just dying out. I'm sure she's going in like in on the march somewhere where we're losing the signal, but we got the gist of it there. I mean, she said we're not taking that lightly, and it is a concern, but it's not as simple as just go back to work. This is, listen, that's why I said, why do you want to be mayor? Because this is one of the tough ones. I you know, there's great arguments to be made on both sides, but
absolutely,
it's hard to argue with the big picture of what the teachers want to do.
It's an absolutely tough situation and the things that teachers face every day. And if you think about a student facing those odds of being homeless or not having the support at home, worrying about being hungry and worrying about where they're sleeping at night and whether they're too cold, how are they ever able to concentrate or get ahead in this world?
I feel for both sides. Both sides have points. There's only so much money to go around.
Absolutely.
The city's got to try to figure out where the money's going to come from. In about 15 minutes, the budget address hits. Maybe there'll be some answers there.
Yeah. And then on the city side, if there's no money, you can't, what's the saying? You can't...
blood from a stone.
Yeah. Right.
Money doesn't grow on trees. You know the old saying, John, you can't find money in a... Yeah. Pair of old pants.
Can't.
Maybe I have before $5.
Yeah. Right, maybe we can rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's
and why do Peter? Why does Peter have all the money?
Right, exactly.
Peter's always been a pain.
Yeah, John's not wrong about that. Anyway, thank you, Teacher Maria Moreno. Maria,
yes,
Moreno.
Maria Moreno from George Washington High School.
It's 9:47, and we're back after this on 720 WGN. All right, back at 9:50, and 312-981-7200 anytime, all the time, texters and phone callers all day long. Bill and Wendy will be here shortly, and then after Bill and Wendy, you get your new business hour, then you get your John Williams, then you get your Rokon, and then tonight you get your Blackhawks. Is Blackhawks game tonight? No, it's tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Are there bobbleheads tonight?
Look at the bobbleheads. Roll out the bobbleheads. Hey, speaking of money, as we have been a lot this morning, Elon Musk is getting sued for $100 million. We could take that $100 million and apply it to the city's budget problem.
What's he being sued for?
He is being sued for stealing the idea of flamethrowers. Do you remember when he was selling flamethrowers?
Oh, my God.
Elon Musk was the guy behind PayPal, and with all the money he generated from PayPal, he had a number of other successful investments, and he became a super rich dude. He also started The Boring Company, which is not a company that has meetings that go on forever.
No.
It's a company that bores holes in the ground that you can build tunnels in. While that was going on, he came up with some other sources of fundraising, including the sale of flamethrowers, which were marketed as not a flamethrower, because there's a California law that says you can't sell flamethrowers. The guy that's accusing him of stealing his idea is the brother of Pablo Escobar and the former accountant for the Medellin drug cartel.
You are kidding me.
No. This is what you can do in parts of Mexico. You can get stuff in court when you were a former accountant for a drug cartel. Anyway, Musk would flippantly dismiss the accusations after allegations came to light.
But Escobar is not going down without a fight. He's filing a $100 million lawsuit of supposed infringement and has hired a musician of international note. We don't know who, to come up with what's called a diss track for good measure.
Am I picturing a flamethrower correctly? Yep. Like the Rambo flamethrower?
Yeah, that's it.
Like kind of a gun that throws, like shoots flames?
Two tanks on your back?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Now, and if you saw the recent movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a flamethrower is prominently featured. I, of course, go to Just Flamethrowers at a flamethrower hut to get all of mine.
Oh, yes, there was one in that movie. Yeah, especially at the end.
Right.
When would I need a flamethrower?
I suppose if the Medellin drug cartel is outside your house.
Yeah.
I said, take this, you invented it. Pablo Escobar is a guy that you probably don't want to anger, but if you're Elon Musk, do you really care? No, you probably
no.
don't care.
I mean, and care. What was it, $100 million? That's 100 nothing million. For him, right? He's said a billionaire?
Said Pablo, or said Elon Musk stole his design for a flamethrower. The whole thing is so weird to me.
I know, it's so...
Elon Musk goes, I have not looked at what Pablo Escobar's brother's doing lately. Hold on. What a great idea for a flamethrower. I'm going to lift this and make my own. I don't know. I don't know. I would love for this to get to the Supreme Court, wouldn't you?
I know. Well, how do they not throw this out right away?
Right?
That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's in a Mexican courtroom, and some of those are corrupt. I'd like to see Ruth Bader Ginsburg's ruling on this.
What's next, the flamethrower?
The notorious RBG with a flamethrower in her hand for evidence.
Wow, that would be a good meme.
Right? 9:53. Bill and Wendy coming up, 720 WGN. Bunch of texters chiming in on the strike, and there's a lot of anger about teachers out there, but then there's a lot of folks sticking up for them, too. 630, I'm a retired teacher. I wonder all about the people who think teaching's so cushy. Well, then why don't you do it? We all think we know what happens in a classroom because we've all been in them. Fact is, the experience of teaching is very different. It's nonstop. It's year-round. Teachers are always learning, preparing, being creative, giving the greatest birthday party with enthusiasm every day for a room full of kids that may or may not appreciate it. Ain't so fun sometimes. And then testing the kids on all of it on Fridays.
There's also something I'd like to address. CPS is structured so differently than any other school district in the state and in the nation. There's all this talk about teachers being paid for all of this vacation. They get paid for 2 weeks vacation a year. Mm-hmm. They don't get paid for their summer.
Well, and here's the summer thing. 708, stop this summer thing. It only begins to make up for outside of the school time spent all year long. How many paid holidays and how much vacation time would someone with 20-plus years get in other jobs? There's a reason there's a shortage of teachers, and much of it is not because of pay. Watch how children behave in stores and restaurants and begin to get a clue, and then multiply that by 25 or 30.
Oh, my gosh.
630, I love teachers. I donate time and money when I can, but I go to work every day for my family. I shouldn't have to pay more in taxes to pay for everyone else. Well, yeah, you kind of do. That's what school taxes are about. Steve, I retired at age 60 and now teach part-time at a local community college. We've pushed more and more social issues to the schools, and they can no longer handle it without help. I had a special needs student in one of my classes who was ill-equipped to handle that student's learning style. It took a lot of time away for all the right reasons, but it was a bad scenario for everyone else. I do have some empathy for the teachers. And then 630, for I got to give this dude some points for concise. I'm done listening to you. If I had a nickel for every time I said that, come on. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you guys?
Done listening to you.
Yeah, almost.
We're done.
You're almost.
Enough of this nonsense.
I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Wendy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Can I suggest a segment for your show, Steve? I heard earlier during Dean's segment, you find out what year a person was born in and then guess their age, and you were only off by 2 years. So you could have callers call up and say what year they were born in, and within 2 years, you would guess their age.
That's not a bad call.
It's a fun game.
The other thing we could do, and this is how you and I met, because we were both carnies.
Yeah.
I met Bill. Bill was hosting I Know What Your Weight Is, and what would happen is they'd write it down on a card and hand it to him.
Yeah.
And then he would announce their weight back to them.
Right.
And if you were within 10 pounds, they were a big winner, and so were you.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a win-win situation.
I'm done listening now.
Good call.
Yeah, don't ever guess any woman's weight.
Oh. Yeah. You know what, Wendy? I think you made a good decision twice.
Right.
What's on the show today?
Peter Brady, Christopher Knight will be on with us.
Is he coming in or on the phone?
He'll be on the phone, but in studio, Mike Rowe, the dirtiest man on
the
television.
Seventh Brady.
And a hardcore Republican.
Yeah.
So if you want to fire him up, get him talking about politics.
All right.
Yeah. If you don't want to fire him up, don't bring that up. He's a big supporter, by the way, of blue collar jobs and kids not having to go to college.
Yeah,
if they can learn a trade, and that's a cool thing too.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have 90 seconds. What else you guys want to do? not that I'm not really fluid with the new timing, but
so I'm 60. How old am I?
What year were you born?
59.
Steve, how old is John?
Why do you think we call it 57?
Yep.
Why do you think we call it Moron Entertainment, by the way?
Oh, now it makes sense.
I'm just happy to be here with the teachers walking around the city. It's crazy town out there.
Traffic a little nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I left early. It didn't matter because it's right in the thick of things right now.
Oh, well, they had an interesting meeting place. We're at 303 East Wacker, which is not
near
in
where
the middle
going,
of anything.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of teachers who met over here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's like, you guys aren't angry enough. Walk to the top of Wacker and wait there. All right. Anything else? Because I ran out of material about
you did.
It was good.
That was good. All right. Well, hopefully the teacher strike will be settled sometime soon. I can't go through this again tomorrow.
And if it isn't, we'll ask them what years they were born in and guess their age in 2 years.
And their weight.
And they'll get stuffed animals.
I'm just glad that our ratings online are going to be good because it was good.
Yeah.
All right. Stand by now. There'll be a loud voice guy right after some music plays. And that'll indicate that it's almost time for Jen DiSalvo in the newsroom to do that news thing that she's about to do. But first, let's dance.